What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. Our mission: to spark hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today.
When you finish a podcast, our hope is that our community would be inspired to live different, to live freely and boldly because of the love of Jesus.
We'll be your hosts. I'm Zach.
And I'm Brooke. Let's go.
What is up, everybody? Woo-hoo! Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. We are so excited to have you join us today.
Yes.
You guys, today is a very, very special episode with an unbelievable guest, Brooke.
Amazing.
Mr. Micah Tyler. You guys, Micah Tyler, listen to some of these accolades for a second. He has been already nominated to several Dove and K-Love Awards. He has two BMI Top 25 Christian Songs. Ooh. He's made an appearance in a major motion picture movie, and he has five number one songs, Brooke.
Get out of here, Zach.
That's ridiculous.
Get out of here.
This dude is doing unbelievable things for the advancement of the kingdom of God in and through just his powerful, not only music writing, but his singing. And I've been to several of his concerts before, and he is incredible. He preaches the good news of the gospel, Brooke, from stage. He's not just a singer, but that dude is a heavy minister as well. You know, one thing that I loved about this episode, Brooke, was just the conversation we had about some of his very humble beginnings.
Yep.
How he started in the music industry is absolutely insane.
So crazy.
And every listener needs to hear that in the next couple of minutes, because it's crazy to see God's provision and how he shows up when we could least expect it.
Yes.
I want to read a quote about Micah. You know, as he was going through some of the difficulties up front, and he took this leap of faith, really, to just pursue a calling that he felt like God had placed on his life later in his 20s, right?
Yeah.
I'm 26, and I think of that, I'm like, man, to take that leap of faith this late, like, that's crazy.
Yep.
But that's what Micah did. And he said these words. He said, I just knew I had to be obedient and step out into music full time. I told the Lord, I don't know how to be a professional musician, but you've taught me to be faithful. It was a daily decision to wake up every morning and stop worrying about tomorrow. And I know, you know, so often it's easy for us to worry about what's to come, to fear. Just fear can be crippling in general.
Yeah.
And it's a natural instinct to just be afraid to step out in faith. But I love what Micah's saying. You know, I may not know how to do this, but you've taught me to be faithful to you, God, because he has seen and he has just been able to, I would just say, digest the faithfulness of God in and through his life and all that he's experienced. So definitely that's kind of a theme of today's message, just the provision and the power of God.
Yes, and I love the stories that Micah shares, because I think they move you to gratitude. They just remind you that the Lord actually is faithful.
Yeah.
The Lord actually will provide. And right now, if you're feeling like, Lord, you're not showing up for me right now, you need to hear these stories, because I feel like these stories that Micah shares in this interview kind of act as like that Ebenezer that like Joshua built when they crossed the Jordan River. God was like, grab the stones, build a monument, so that when you forget how faithful I am, look back to this and know, no, I got your back. I'm in this with you. I'm going to deliver you through this. I'm going to provide when it looks like there's no provision. And so that's what I loved specifically about just what Micah shared. And I'm eager for y'all to hear it. So you don't want to miss this. Coming up next, this awesome interview.
Micah, thank you so much for joining us today, brother.
Bro, so stoked to be hanging today.
Yes, man, we're so excited to have you join us, just to sit down with you. You know, we're still talking about our Ignite Men's Impact Weekend that we had just a couple weekends ago at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, and just the concert that you were able to lead Friday night. You know, I think of it as a time of just great refreshment and just being able to reflect on a posture of worship toward the Lord, and honestly kind of developing that attitude of gratitude toward God and just what he has truly given us. Mike, you know, you have a ton of accolades to your name, a ton of number one hits, a ton of things that, you know, I look back on, and you've impacted my life in many ways. But what I'm interested in up front, my friend, is where it all began for you. I mean, go back, take us back to the beginnings and just help us understand how you got into this role of a youth pastor, but then also how music became a thing.
Yeah, it definitely didn't start with a few thousand men in Virginia. facts. That's for sure. No, man, I was raised in a house with a mom who was Baptist and a dad who's Catholic. Hmm. So I was Catholic until I was about 10. So, like, I was going to, like, catechism training on Wednesday nights and Sunday school on Sundays. But what was neat was it kind of set me up in my life to understand how different people can follow Jesus in different ways, but we can still, like, understand that him as the foundation is the most important thing. So my parents have been married for over 40 years now. It's been a beautiful thing for me to see. So from a young age, I just realized how Jesus can impact people in different ways. Became a believer at 10 years old at Central Baptist Church at a Bible school. And so we just kind of, my dad was so gracious to say, like, hey, if God's moving in his life here, we want to support him there. So I put both feet into my mom's church. When I was 17, had a youth pastor impact my life in a profound way. That made me want to do the same thing for others, felt the call to go into ministry. And so I kind of became the unofficial assistant youth pastor. Like, I was just helping him out with, if a kid had questions to ask after the sermon, Kyle would send them over to me. I'd hang out with the junior high kids and, like, try to you know, build relationships that way. Started dating a girl named Casey my senior year of high school. And we've been married for 18 years now. But as soon as we graduated from high school, she knew I had this call in my life. And her grandfather was the chairman of the deacons at this little church. They had about 7 kids in the youth group, and they needed a youth director, which basically was the only thing different between a youth director and a youth pastor at the time was a youth pastor in my head was like, preach sermons and, like, you know, really go on mission trips and, like, do all the discipleship, that kind of thing. Their expectation was like, can you make sure they get pizza every once in a while and they don't tear things off the wall? And I was like, yeah, I'm all in on this. So I showed up, man, and just, like, gave it everything I had. 18 years old, just, I was basically a year older than the oldest kids in the youth group, but, like, went in there and just thought, okay, we're gonna grow in our relationship with Jesus together. And it's some of my favorite years of ministry, was just, like, growing up alongside of these kids who were growing up, and us just finding the Lord in different places, and the group started growing. It was super exciting. And then whenever I was 20, I'd been in youth ministry for a few years. The group had gotten to about 25 kids. And we're in this little tiny room. I'm going, I got to do something on Wednesdays to kind of spice things up a little bit, make something special. And I started looking at other youth groups, and I realized, oh, they usually have, like, a kid in the youth group who, like, leads worship and, like, sings a couple songs. Well, I didn't have a kid who had a guitar, and my thought was, if I buy a guitar, one of these kids will learn to play it. I just know they will. So I went and spent a little pizza budget on a guitar. And, dude, those kids could not have been less interested in learning how to play a guitar. And I'm going, golly, I blew, like, a quarter of the budget on just, like, this cheap guitar. So I brought it home and just started, like, plugging away and figuring out a few songs, not knowing that, you know, me leading worship for my youth group was going to turn into me being, like, the cheap option for youth camp for all the youth pastors in the area.
Right.
They call me, hey, can you come in and lead worship? Because we can't afford to bring in, like, a real band. I was like, well, yeah, I guess I'll do it because I'm not a real musician. I'd show up and lead worship. But then at 27, we've been doing it for like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And, man, I was just writing music and just trying to be faithful to what God was putting in front of me with the music thing, as well as, like, loving youth ministry. I've been in youth ministry for 9 years. My wife and I have been married for 7 years, had a couple kids. But something that someone told me a while back that I think about often, and I think it goes for everybody, we'll never stand before God and him say, well done, that good and successful Christian music artist, or, you know, men's ministry leader or podcaster or whatever that is. Like, whatever will never be the successful thing. It is. We're hoping that he says faithful servant. So what I'm learning in my life is, and still learning, is that, you know, it's not about, like, what we can be the absolute best at, unless that thing is being faithful to what God puts in front of us. And all of a sudden, the Lord just changed what faithfulness looked like in our life when it came to music over doing youth ministry. And so we ended up feeling this calling. I went and talked to the church. They were awesome. We turned in a 6-month notice where I was going to be there for another 6 months while they found a new youth pastor. But we started making the transition into selling over half of what we owned. We bought a single wide mobile home trailer, put it on some borrowed land. I started doing odd jobs. I was a substitute teacher. I drove a sausage delivery truck.
Wow. Which is, you
know, real job, getting up 30 in the morning and running around Southeast Texas and delivering sausage all over the place. And just, like, honestly, just, like, asking God, like, can you just help us get the daily bread on the table? Like, making sure that we're making ends meet however we can. I was mowing grass. I was doing odd jobs, like, whatever I could do to just, like, provide for a family, but also be faithful to a calling. And so, you know, that was 11 years ago. Things are definitely a lot different now than what they were then. But at the end of the day, I'm still doing the thing today that I was trying to do at 17 years old when I felt called to go into ministry. When I was 18 years old, became a youth pastor. When I was 20 years old, bought a guitar. Mm. When I was 27 years old and stepping out and doing this calling, and that is just to be faithful to what God's putting in front of me. It's just the things that he's putting in front of me are a little different now than what they were before.
That's right. I think that's powerful because that's the journey that we're all on. Like you said, trying to be faithful, trying to take steps of obedience to God, and really trying to understand what it is, the calling that God has placed on our lives. I know that there's probably times of uncertainty in there where you're like, man, is this really going to work out? Doubt, discouragement, I'm sure that set in. What were some of those moments like for you where it was like, man, I'm taking this leap of faith, but is this going to come to fruition?
You know, I look back on some of the harder things we've gone through, and what I used to be, not, I don't want to say, wow, there's times where I would feel resentful towards God. I'm going like, God, we're doing our best. Like I'm working hard as I can. I'm doing everything I can. You know, we may not have enough to make ends meet for this month. Like, I'm holding up my end of the bargain, you know? But I look back on those moments where God showed up in such a faithful and steadfast way. And now I'm so grateful for those moments. I'm grateful that whenever me and my wife first got married, we got married at 20. So we were like, we couldn't wait any longer to just be poor. You know, we love each other that much. And so I remember us living in a one-bedroom apartment. I was doing youth ministry. She was going to school at the time. I was working a part-time job while I was doing youth ministry to kind of help, you know, figure things out. And she accidentally paid a light bill early. And I remember us being in the hole, and we were about to go buy groceries. We didn't have any groceries. So I remember sitting at this one bedroom apartment, and we're just both just grieved about the whole thing. She felt bad about it. I wasn't trying to make her feel guilty. I didn't know what to do. And then but I had to preach that night. And I told her, I said, well, I'm going to go try to find something to eat. Do you want anything? And she said, hey, I'm not hungry right now. I said, well, I'm going to go try to find something. So I go to the kitchen, refrigerator. And I remember on the counter, there were two slices of bread still left. In the refrigerator, there was a piece of ham, a piece of cheese, jelly, and crackers. That's all we had. Wow. And I remember going like, God, you're so faithful. A piece of ham, piece of cheese, two pieces of bread. That's a sandwich. I'm going to be grateful for this. Make myself a sandwich. And just as I'm about to take a bite, she couldn't see me. My wife just goes, hey, I guess just make me one of whatever you're making. And I'm going, well, there's only the one. You know, I can't. But I didn't have the heart to tell her that. I couldn't do that. So I remember walking in there and just giving her my sandwich. She had no idea. We laugh about this today because she's the sweetest person in the whole world. But she looked me in the eye and she had no idea what was happening. She just goes, no chips. I said, no chips. Like, I'm not eating a sandwich. So I gave it to her. And I remember going in the kitchen and I got on my knees in that refrigerator. I was kind of hiding from her because I didn't want her to know. And I remember eating jelly and crackers for dinner that night. Wow. And the whole time just going like, God, like we're just trying, like, you know, we're doing our best. But I go that night on the Wednesday, and dude, I preach my guts out to those kids. We had a couple of kids come to know Jesus that night. It was a really sweet thing. But there was this lady named Teresa who used to help out with my youth group, and she was a little older than us, and she was a school teacher. My wife is going to school for education, so she had a heart for us. And I remember her telling me like, "Hey, I got something for you and Casey. Can you meet me out of my van?" So we go out to her van after the church service, and she goes, hey, I just want to give you a little present. I know you guys are going, she's going to school right now. All these things are happening. So I wanted to give this to you. She gives us a little bag. We open it up, and inside is the one present that we couldn't use at all. Right. It was a cookbook. She had handed all these recipes in there. I'm going, unless you've got some jam up cracker and jelly recipes, exactly what we're about to cook. And but it was so sweet because she wrote everything out by hand, and she just said, hey, when I was a school teacher, when I was going to school, I know it's hard to put meals together. So I wanted to throw just some really easy stuff. You can throw cans together and make an easy meal out of it. And I just was like, Teresa, thank you so much. That's so great. She said, but you're going to need ingredients. And she opens up the back of her van, and there are 7 bags of groceries in there. Wow. Okay. Nobody knew. Right. Nobody knew that night we ate the last of the meals that we had at our house.
Right.
But right there was just the Lord's provision. So in that moment where I felt like, God, what are you doing? He was working. He was building a moment that I'm still talking about 20 years later, where the Lord showed up in such a sweet and profound way that now whenever we just have this little bit, I'm going, that's all we need. Because now I see how God has taken a little bit and has done so much with those things and has built all of this trust inside of our chest because of those things going forward. And so every time I think about that story, I'm thinking, if I got, you know, we think about our daily bread. If I got jelly and crackers, I know that still coming along the way that the Lord's going to provide and take care of our family.
Man, Micah, I think that's a powerful story just simply because, like you said, you were faithful with few and you did this whole leap of faith. It wasn't out of selfish ambition. It wasn't to become a best-selling artist. It wasn't to win the Dove Awards that you've won. It was really just because you wanted to follow in obedience the Lord's calling that he had placed on your life. And the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and a rewarder of those who are obedient. And that's what God exactly, that's what he did for you, right? He begins to guide, to direct, and to lead your steps. And you go on to release your first album in 2013 titled The Story I Tell. You know, Micah, not only that album, but the song The Story I Tell really made just a direct impact on my life. And I'm super interested to figure out what it was that kind of forced you to write that song and what did God place in your heart to share with all of the listeners that hear that song today?
Yeah, it's interesting. I wrote that song 10 years ago, and it's still one of my favorite songs because I love the story or the stories behind it. So if you just look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just the four gospels, there's 27 different times. When I was a youth pastor, I started going through and I'd be like, hey, I want to preach on the woman at the well. What was her name? And I started looking for it. And I was like, oh, her name's not mentioned in any of the gospels. That's weird. Mm. And then like a couple weeks later, I'd be like, I want to preach about the blind man that Jesus met in this place right here. And I go look, like, what was the blind man's name? And I didn't see it. And I'm going, what in the world's happening? So one day I decided to just count them up. And there's 27 times where someone's story is told in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John alone, where their life completely changes when they met Jesus and we never learned their names ever. And I remember just being like, that's unbelievable. And what I realized later is that we still call them by all the things that they used to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we called blind men, even though they were healed and they were able to see, you know, we call them lepers and they've been healed and they've been restored. We call him the thief on the cross. We never learned his name, but like he's been with Jesus for like 2000 years ago. You know, like he's been there. Like he's a whole different person now. Huh. But a lot of times I meet people on the road so often, a lot of men too, that feel like they're always going to be known by what they used to be.
That's right.
The things that they did or the things that were done to them, the hurts that they felt, the scars that they bear, the scars that they've caused, they feel like that's their identity. But the Bible tells us, man, the old has passed away. Look, behold, the new has come. The one who did not know sin became sin so that we could have the righteousness. And I have so many people that tell me like, well, you don't know what I've done or you don't know what's been done to me. Mm. And I go, I don't have to because Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his great love for us in this way that while we were still sinners, that's when Christ died for us.
Right.
It's not when we got good enough. Jesus said, well, now you're good enough. I'll make you one of my children. It's like, no. In your worst, in your complete disgrace or in your guilt and your shame and whatever that is, Jesus says, that's when I will reconcile you. I will bring you back to good from there. So that story's been one that, man, I've gotten to sing that song in prisons. I've gotten to sing that song in homeless ministries. I've gotten to sing that song all over the world. And it's been one that for me, I always go back to as being like, there's always going to be somebody in a room who's carrying around those identities of things that we call ourselves because we can't forgive ourselves sometimes. Whenever Jesus goes, nah, I'll forgive that. And I know your name. I know who you are.
Man, that's so powerful, Micah, because, you know, I think of that often. And like you said, sometimes it's easy to feel forgotten. It's easy to feel left out, to feel like maybe God doesn't remember our name or our situation or our pain. But like you said, he always does. And he's always in our midst and he's always intervening on our behalf behind closed doors. Even when we don't see it, even when we can't track him, right? We can still trust him and he's still doing a good work for us. Micah, you know, that then pushes me into another song that propelled you in your career titled Different. You know, this song specifically has really changed my life and influenced the trajectory of my life. And man, I told you at Ignite, but that's really why, you know, this podcast is titled Built Different, because I want people to understand what it looks like to not only make a difference for Christ, but to understand that we can be made new and given new life and built different completely on the solid foundation that only Christ has to offer. But Micah, what was it that drove this song? Because what I love about it is that it's very personal. It's almost like a heart's cry out to God. What was that cry within your heart as you wrote it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it was so personal. I didn't think that I'd be talking about it with anybody else. I thought it was going to be a song that was like, for me, hanging out in the prayer closet, like that was my song to kind of get me reminded. Because dude, I grew up being a kid who, I remember being a sophomore in high school, right before that youth pastor Kyle came into my life and just really made an impact on me. dude, I had an enemy in high school. Hated him. Hated the way he looked. Hated the way he sounded. Didn't want anything to do with him. Couldn't stand in the same room with him. And his name was Micah. Like, it was me. That's like, it. I had disdain for myself. And I remember comparing myself all the time. And like, I was an athlete in school, but I was never as tall or as fast or as big as some of the other guys like that played baseball. And so everybody else hits these big growth spurts. These other first basemen are 6'4", and I'm still hanging out at a strong 5'11", you know, just That's trying it. To like, like Tony Gwynn my way into the lineup and stuff. And I remember just constantly just feeling this, like, I would compare myself to the things of the world, and I could always find somebody that I was less than. Yeah. But what I realized is the only person that we should be comparing ourselves to, we'll never measure up to, we will never be like Jesus. But Jesus says, I'll make you more like me the closer you get to me.
Amen.
And so now I look at my life, because I've learned the closer I get to Jesus, the more I can see things from his perspective.
That's right.
So I can look at the problems that I have, and I can realize that when Jesus sees my problems, he sees those as opportunities to grow me and to build trust inside of me. Mm. Whenever I am going through a tough season, I can understand how he is walking along those signs with me. And so when I wrote Different, it was just me kind of being fed up with myself, comparing myself to other people, and just going like, Lord, I don't want to look like this world. I don't want to trade. I don't want to keep trying to trade things about me to try to gain or earn something around me. I'm like, I want to set my eyes on the only thing, the author and perfecter of my faith. The only thing that I can set my eyes on, and that's a worthwhile goal for me, is to look more like you. And so that was just one of those songs. I mean, again, had no idea that it would ever make its way into the lives of anybody else, that would make its way onto a record or on Christian radio, but it's made its way into hospital rooms, into huts of Africa. It's made its way into cars on the way to divorce court that have turned around and have pulled over and say, man, God, can you reconcile our marriage? Wow. It's made its way into storms. It's made its way, you know, and it's made its way on ESPN with this whole Literally. Different the shirt this year, which is still... I thought that song had like had its moment in the sun. It was really neat. I love the song so much. So sing it all the time. Yeah. But I thought, okay, we've kind of reached like, this is going to be the life of this song. And then all of a sudden, friggin' Ben Roethlisberger wears a t-shirt, the training camp. And it's like, well, here we go again. And next thing I know, we're able to feed, you know, 13,000 meals to a homeless citizen in Pittsburgh because we get to partner with a future Hall of Famer and tell people about how the Lord can make you different, and how we can make a difference because of it.
It's absolutely amazing to see what God has done in and through just a simple song. Like you said, a simple heart's cry that was so personal. It was written in a prayer closet, and you never thought it would come out of there. But look what God has done within the lives, including my own, that he has impacted and touched. So I can't thank you enough for being willing and faithful in God to put it out there. You know, I think, like you said, we live in a world, right, of perceived perfection based on a comparison culture. And it's really easy to try to compare ourselves with other people. But like you said, we shouldn't be striving for perfection. We'll never attain perfection. But it's the obedience that we can strive for that will then lead us to Christ's likeness. And I'd much rather be like Christ than someone's definition, worldly definition of what perfect looks like to them. You know, Micah, I've heard you say that the Lord walks us through things that we would never choose. But when we trust in him, that's when we begin understanding that he never walks us through something that's a mistake. Even though he may not change the things outside of us, our external circumstances, he will change the things inside of us to help us become more equipped and prepared to walk through the difficulties and challenges that we may face. You know, I think that's a powerful quote. And as you reflect back on those words, but also as you reflect back on even just the inconsistencies, the highs and lows of life, what were you able to find and reveal about the character of God in those moments?
What I think is so incredible about a relationship with Jesus is that he does not just settle for you to know him in the way that you want to know him. He wants you to know the fullness of who he is in ways that you'll even ask for. Back in 2017, I felt like I had one foot on top of a mountain and one foot in a valley. Yeah. Okay. I had been nominated for New Artist of the Year for the Dove Awards. I had a number one song on Christian radio. I was out on tour with heroes of mine, Big Daddy Weave. Things are amazing. And on the at the exact same time all that's going on, 2017, we were hit with Hurricane Harvey, and I had 40 inches of rain hit my house in 2 days. flooded underneath of our house, had to replace four rooms, the floors and walls of four of the rooms in the house. Yeah. And we thought that was going to be the biggest thing we'd come against, not knowing that just a few weeks later, my younger brother, Daniel, would be diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Wow. And the thing is, man, I would look at scripture and I would say, like, you say that when you say peace be still, the storm stops. So as those rain clouds started forming around my house, I was going, I'm asking for you to make it stop. Right. And then he didn't. I asked him to protect her, and then he didn't. But here's the beautiful thing, Zach. I got to know God as provider. I didn't ask for it, but I saw him put my house back together. Wow. I asked him to be healer to my brother. Now, here's the thing. With my house, he protected most of the house, but there are parts of it that we had to fix. But I got to know him as protector and as provider. Wow. With my brother, I asked him to be healer. And it wasn't this instantaneous thing. In fact, they kept shortening his lifespan. They kept saying, nope. 2 years, nope, less than that. Well, he'll never have children. Okay, we're looking like it's spread from his colon to his stomach lining to his lungs, his lymph nodes. We're going to just zap him with the most aggressive chemo we can. Like they were just giving us, every time he went, it was a worse report every single time. Leading up to this exploratory surgery where they're going to open him up, they're going to cut him open like 18 inches and just look inside and say, here's what we can remove. Here's what's left. We can lengthen his life expectancy, maybe zap a few things. But like after that, you know, it's just, we're just going to let it be what it is. Wow. And I remember asking, telling God, like, I know the Bible says that you are healer and I trust and believe that that's who you are. So can you be that to us right now? But in those moments where he wasn't, I got to know him as comforter. And so, and then when they opened him up thinking they were going to find all this cancer left, it was all gone. Like the Lord healed him in a miraculous way. Wow. And here's the deal. What I learned was I was going to trust God as healer either way. Either he was going to heal him here on the earth, or he was going to send him to a place where cancer would never touch his body ever again. He'd be healed forever. Yeah. But it's that thing of, it's because of the comfort that he brought to our hearts, the peace that he brought to us. So even though I only asked God to be protector to my house and healer to my brother, I got to know him as those two things, plus comforter, plus peacemaker, plus provider. I mean, plus protector, comforter, like all these amazing attributes. And so when it comes to that relationship, we cannot control our circumstances. And here's the deal. I still truly believe that when he says, peace be still, everything stops. Right. I still believe that if he wants to, he can heal something miraculously, instantly, and it's over with. But sometimes we go through things because God tells us, okay, I'm not going to change the things around you, but I'll change you. I'll change the things inside you so that you can learn to trust me more. So now whenever 2020 comes up and a pandemic comes up, listen, there were days where there was worry because we only made 10% of our income the whole year. But you know what? I've eaten jelly and crackers before.
That's right.
So it's like, whenever we go through these tough seasons now, I know what it's like to go through a tough season before. When they're saying like, hey, we don't know if you're going to be able to go back out and work and do these things. I remember what it was like when no one was calling my phone to come out and work anyway.
Yeah.
And I had to make it some other way, and God provided then too. So because I trusted Lord as provider during one of our harder seasons before, when the next hard season comes along, we just go, okay, we're just going to trust. We're going to spend time as a family. We're going to love the moments that we have together. And we're just going to put all of our faith and trust in the Lord that he is going to take care of us if we will draw near to him and say, God, comfort our hearts until it's time for us to do something else.
Micah, my dad always said that God loves to use our moments of powerlessness to draw us closer to his heart. And I think something that you're describing right there is that that's God's grace. God really, he wraps himself around our situation. He may not give us exactly what we want or what we're praying for distinctly, but he does answer that prayer and gives us exactly what we need in that given day. That is the provision, the comfort of who our God is. And he does, like you said,
His strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Exactly.
Made perfect in our strength, that'd be easy.
Right.
You'd be like, hey, I'm good at, can you be good at too? And then we're good together. But it's not. It's God saying, like, the smaller you get, you decrease, and I will increase in that moment. And it's a helpless feeling. But gosh, what a relief to know that the weight of our happiness and our joy and our peace does not rest on our shoulders.
Yeah.
But instead, when we are hopeless, he is the help. When we are stressed, he is the peace. So it's not this thing of like the things that we're good at, God's good at too. It's like God's good at all things.
That's right.
And he is faithful all things. And all we have to do is be still and let him fight battles for us. Mm-hmm. Let him be the strength in the moments that we are weak, and just trust and obey in a straight direction, fixing our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith.
Man, Micah, such good stuff, my friend. You know, I could talk to you, I feel like, forever. I love this conversation, having a blast, just getting to know you more. But, you know, as we close up here, and we're kind of, I want you to speak into the life, really, of the individual today that may feel lost, that may feel discouraged, that may be doubting, that may feel forgotten or overlooked, or that God doesn't know their name. All of these things that can stack up with the pain and the difficulties of life. Mike, you know, what would you share with that person today that God has placed on your heart to hopefully instill some hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through their life? And like your song says, multiple song titles say, you know, that even when they're lonely and afraid, right? It's that even then, there has never been a moment where God has left them or forsaken them.
Yeah. Something that I struggle with a lot, I have in the past, and I'm still learning to trust God more in this, is that the scary thing about the past is that we can't change it.
Yeah.
Okay? But the freeing thing about the past is that we can't change it. There's nothing we can do. It already happened, right?
Yeah.
The thing about the future that's scary is that we can't do anything about the future today.
Mm-hmm.
Freeing thing, the reason why God says don't worry about tomorrow is because we can't do anything about tomorrow. The only day that we have is right now.
That's right.
This one, right? The only thing we can be faithful to is what God puts in front of us. So if this is a dad who's going like, man, I haven't been a good dad for a long time. Today, don't say, okay, but if everything works out in 10 years, I'll be able to be the husband I want to be. I want to be the man that I want to be then, or the believer I'm going to, no. We're not promised tomorrow. We can't go back to yesterday. Today's the day. Today's the day where we just say, I'm going to be stronger today. Or in my weakness, he's going to be stronger in me. Mm. I'm going to commit to trust Jesus today, because today's the only day that we can be faithful to.
Yeah.
We're not going to try to be successful. We're not going to try to be strong. We're not going to try to be the best at. We can listen. There's nothing wrong with working hard. I that's one thing that I have done in my life. I've tried my hardest to work as hard as I can at the things that God allows me to be faithful to. Mm. But at the end of the day, I don't try to put all my eggs in the basket of what my strength can provide. Mm. I know that my job is not to be successful and strong. My job is to be faithful.
Amen.
So today, no matter where you are, what you're doing, we can't change the past, so we don't look at the past. We don't change the future, so we don't look at the future. We look at right now, and we say, God, would you reconcile the things in front of me? Would you give me something to be faithful to? And will you show me today what I can do to show you my faithfulness towards you, my love towards you, and the people around me?
Amen. We must live in the moment of today. Micah Tyler, what is next for you? What's on the horizon? What are your tour dates? Where can our listeners find out more just about you and come and listen live? Yeah.
I'm on all the social media stuff. So at Micah Tyler Music, for the most part, it's all my stuff out there. Man, we're wrapping up a tour right now with my buddy Austin French that we started with you back there at the conference. We're wrapping that up this weekend. And so it's been such a blast getting to do life with these guys. And so we're excited to wrap this thing up. I've got festivals this summer. We're throwing around some fall ideas. I think we're going to try to run this tour back in the fall, maybe,
nice.
And do some guys. As well as some other things that we're trying to work on right now. But like I said, man, right now we're writing new music, which I'm really excited about. So
that
we'll start
is.
Releasing songs this summer and everything. But yeah, man, just trying to be faithful to what's in front of me. Today, I am in full-blown dad mode. I am picking up my oldest from the ACT. It's his birthday this weekend, so he's going to come on. He's going to get to come stay on the tour bus this weekend.
That's awesome.
And so we're going to go hang and do some fun stuff with them. And so right now I'm just trying to live it up in the dad mode until God gets me to the next place and puts me on stage somewhere else.
Man, I challenge every single listener to go and listen to Micah Tyler live in person, because, man, you're not just a singer and a songwriter, but you're a minister. And you, what I love about you is your humility. You view yourself as just a fellow traveler on this thing that we call life. And you really just want to preach the good news of the gospel in and through every single opportunity that you get of interacting with other people. So, Micah, I can't thank you enough just for what you're doing, for continuing to just press into and follow the calling that God has placed on your life. But also, man, thank you so much for your time and your willingness to join us on the show today.
Well, Zach, it is a joy to me, and I really do. I try to look at what I do as a ministry. If I left my family to go sing songs for people, that's a real bad excuse to miss a T-ball game or to not help out my things. But if I'm going out and trying to share the gospel that changed my life first, that's the worthwhile reason for me to go out and try to be faithful to. But man, when I get to partner with guys like you and your dad and conference like that, Roethlisberger, and just guys being so kind to like throw all these people in my way to be able to get alongside of it, I'll take that any day. So thanks for what you do, man. It's always a joy to know there's somebody out there just lifting up Jesus who can draw me into himself.
Absolutely, sir. We appreciate you, Micah. Really appreciate you. We'll be praying for you on the journey.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Wow, Zach, that was a powerful, powerful interview.
Yeah.
Something that cracks me up about one of the stories they told is when he first got that cookbook before the groceries. Mm. Like, he's standing there. He's like, I'm hungry. I'm eating crackers. Like, my wife is maybe not going to have lunch tomorrow, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. And then he receives this cookbook, and he's like, funny, God. This is hilarious. Like, give me a cookbook now. Okay, what's going on? And I think what's really hit me about that story specifically, Zach, is that sometimes the Lord gives us things, and we're like, Lord, why are you giving this to me? So it may be a trial that's like refining us. It may be like this friendship that we're not sure, like, Lord, why are you giving this to me? Or like a tool or something that we're learning. And we don't know what it's for yet. But I think what Micah reminds us in this story, how he gets the cookbook and then gets given the groceries, is that God may be giving you tools right now for the blessing he has for you later.
That's good.
He's giving you tools for the now that's actually for this blessing that's coming later. So I think what that encourages us to do is don't grow weary in waiting on the Lord, waiting patiently for him to provide that blessing or that favor that is coming. And that cookbook is just a sign or a signal. The groceries are coming, baby. That's just right. Stay patient. The Lord will provide.
Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in doing what is right, for in due time you will reap a
harvest.
If you do not give up. It also reminds me of Luke 1:45, blessed is she who has believed that he would fulfill his promises to her, right?
Yes.
And then another verse I looked up was Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
You know, I think those are three verses that remind me of Micah's testimony.
Yes.
And you know what he's gone through. He always says that his songs are battle tested. And one of those songs that he wrote that he mentioned was the song Different. And really why I love it so much, why I'm so thankful for him, is because that was a song, Brooke, that he wrote in his prayer closet. That he literally, it was so vulnerable that he was terrified that people wouldn't like it, because it was something, it was just between him and God. And you know, he said that oftentimes when he was writing that song, he looked at it in the sense of like it was a curse almost that he was different. Like he was almost frustrated at times. But then God spoke to him in that closet one day and said, my son, just because I've made you unique, right? I also call you wonderful. And I think that's powerful just for every listener out there to understand that we serve a God that loves you in such a unique way that he literally, to the point of death, gave it all for us, suffered all for us, and that we can be fully known, yet fully accepted and fully loved for who we are.
Yeah.
And then he calls us to go be different, right? Mm-hmm. Let others see that difference in and through us. Let others see the provision of God, right? By taking just steps of faithfulness in and through someone else's life.
Yes.
Man, my friends, we love you so much, and we hope that this interview has impacted you as much as it has us. We're so thankful for Mike, and we challenge you guys to go listen to a concert, go check him out,
yep,
and just all the amazing things that he's doing. But you guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us,
and we'll see you next time
on the Built Different podcast.